Vayidaber Elohim El Moshe, Vayomer Elav, Ani Adonai, Va'era El Avraham, El Yitzchak ve'El Yaakov, Be'El Shaddai, Ushmi Adonai, Lo Nodati Lahem, Vigam Hakimosi es Berisi Itam, Lases Lahem es Eretz Kanaan, Eis Eretz Migurehem, Asher Garuva. God spoke to Moshe and said to him, I am Hashem. I appeared to Avraham, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov as Kael Shakai, but with my name Hashem, I did not make myself known to them. Moreover, I established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their sojourning, in which they sojourned. Vegam ani shamati es na'akas b'nei Yisrael asher Mitzrayim ma'avidim osam vo'ezkor es berisi. Moreover, I have heard the groan of the children of Israel whom Egypt enslaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Lachein emor livnei Yisrael ani Adonai vehotzeisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim vehitzalti eschem meavodasam vegalti eschem bizroa nituya uvshvatim gidolim velokachti eschem li laam vehayisi lachem leilohim vidatem ki ani Adonai Eloheichem hamotzi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim vehevesi eschem el haaretz asher nasasi es yodi Laseis osah li Avraham li Yitzchak uli Yaakov v'nasati osah lachem morasha ani Adonai. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am Hashem, and I shall take you out from under the burdens of Egypt. I shall rescue you from their service. I shall redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I shall take you to me for a people, and I shall be a God to you, and you shall know that I am Hashem your God, who takes you out from under the burdens of Egypt. I shall bring you to the land about which I raised my hand to give to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and I shall give it to you as a heritage. I am Hashem.
OU Israel presents
Come In. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Vo'era. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, the 26th day, 26, of Tevet, 5776, corresponding to January 7th. This Shabbat is not only Vo'era, but we bench Rosh Chodesh, blessing and announcing the coming month of Shavat, the Rosh Chodesh of which, the first day of which, is this coming Monday, corresponding to January 11th. Now, you heard a introduction, instrumental, of a Pesach medley. You will hear shortly one of the Pesach Haggadah songs done in Karlbach style by Avi Barak. And hopefully later in the show you'll hear another one, also a Pesach song, also Karlbach style. And the reason for that is, even though we are standing before the month of Shvat, and we have all of Shvat, all of the first Adar, all of the second Adar, and half of Nisan, that's 3.5 months till we get to Pesach, we already are going to have a preview of the Pesach story in last week's Sedra of Shemot, with enslavement and the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu and the vision at the burning bush. This week, with Moshe going to the people and going to Paro and reigning the first 7 of the 10 plagues into next week, into the following week. And it is all the Torah's account of the process of enslavement and Yetziat Mitzrayim and its aftermath before Pesach. And on Pesach, we do it again, because the Torah readings of Pesach come from these sedras, some of them. And I find personally that rather than focus everything just on Pesach time, it's nice to be able to examine certain elements of Pesach at other times of the year, and Parshat HaShavua, the weekly portion, gives us that great opportunity today and next week, because we're talking about the birth of the Jewish nation. We're not just talking about an event in our history marked in our calendar. We are talking about the foundation and the birth of the Jewish people. So I have no qualms about doing that and putting you into the Pesach mood by the music that I have selected for the show. Before I continue, let us say Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim kraticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tihyena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor yoh Adonai mi'amod. Ki imcha ha-salicha l'ma'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kivita nafshi v'lidvaro ho'chalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi'shomerim l'boker, shomerim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fidut. V'hu yifdeh et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim batzara uvashivya, ha-omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha-makom yirachem aleihem v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha, u'me'afela l'ora u'mishibud l'geula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. Kind of ironic if you think about it, because it just gave that extra prayer of having our fellow Jews who find themselves in difficult straits to be taken from darkness to light and from restriction to expansive comfort. And that's really the Yetziat Mitzrayim Exodus Pesach story. So we're not up to that yet, but we've come a long way. Beginning of Shemot last week, we were plunged into slavery following the deaths of Yosef and his brothers. And the Redeemer, Moshe Rabbeinu, was born, Moses. And first encounter with God at the burning bush. And intention of God sending Moshe to Egypt, where he had been previously in his early years, but he had spent a lot of time in Midian with his wife's family, father-in-law Yitro, and now he's going back to Egypt. So the beginning of this Sedra starts the process of the Exodus in the form of the first 7 of the 10 plagues, as I mentioned earlier. But before that, we have things to talk about. And you, I am sure, noticed the excessively long reading from the Parsha. I usually read a verse, sometimes two. And here I read, don't even know how many, eight? No, purposely not. Call it seven. And I'll tell you about the one that I purposely didn't read. We'll get there. I also had a big chunk in Hebrew, which I was going to break up with the English, but I don't want it broken up, and I have a reason for that, too. So I'm basically going to present an idea which I am sure I have presented maybe every single year. Hopefully it'll be in a fresh, different way. I know for sure that some of the things that I have to say are new to me, or new putting them together with this, but let's take it from the beginning. The first verse in the Sedra is kind of very interesting because it uses two names of God and two forms of speech, verbs. Vaydaber Elokim. Elokim is the name of God which we associate with his Midat Hadin, his strict judgment. You deserve punishment, you get punishment. That's the term for God, Elokim. Just as a side point, just to illustrate, the first name of God that we are introduced to in the beginning of Bereshit, the account of creation, is Elokim. Because when God created everything, and then light and darkness and day and night, and the waters and the dry land and the plant world and the animal kingdom, all of that involved nature, which basically follows God's laws of nature, and there is no need for anything other than Elokim, the strict judge. Once Adam HaRishon and Chava came on the scene, Adam and Eve, then the world really cannot continue to function only with God's Midat HaDin, with his strict judgment. God said to them, you could eat from any tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Guess which tree they ate from. Elokim, God as his strict judge character, so to speak, would have threatened to kill them on the day that they ate from it, and they ate from it, and they didn't die on that day. How do we explain the fact that Adam at least lived another 930 years? The answer is the main name of Hashem throughout the Torah and throughout Tanakh, the one that far outnumbers the term Elokim, and that is the four-letter name, the Yud, the He, the Vav, and the He, which we are not allowed to pronounce as written. We pronounce it as Adonai, which means my Lord, my Master. And there's a whole issue with the way it's written and what it means and the connotation of it. But the point for our discussion now is that it refers to God in his Midat HaRachamim, in his merciful character. And therefore, when we read Elokim a lot in the previous Sedra, when we were talking about slavery and oppression in Egypt, we have now a change of mode of God. He starts off Vaydaber, which means, and God spoke. That's the formal term, Lidaber. Vaydaber Elokim El Moshe. Vayomer Elav, and he said to him, Vayomer from the root Omar, is a softer, not speaking, but saying. And what did he say to him? Ani Hashem, I am God. So even though the experience until this point has been the stricter, harsher, Vaydaber Elokim, in the same single first verse of our weekly portion, Vo'era, God starts out speaking as Elokim and softens to Vayomer Elav, and he said to him, to Moshe, Ani Hashem. And on that note of names, he continues with the next pasuk, which was, he appeared, God says, I appeared to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov in different names. Kel, Aleph Lamed, and Shin Dalet Yud are more of the power and strength of God. Ushmi Hashem, and the name Hashem, and its connotation of mercy, Lo Nodati Lahem, I did not make known to them. Then the Torah continues, and I am intending now to uphold my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived. And God adds that he has also heard the cries and the moans of the children of Israel, that Mitzrayim, that Egypt, has enslaved them. And God says, I remember my covenant and my promises. That's the introduction. Then we get now to what is known as the terms of redemption. And here I want to spend a decent amount of time. Before we do that, and before I knock off the music completely, let's hear that first song, which is Vehisha Umda, not in the more recent popular melody, but this one, based on Karlbach's melodies, is Vehisha Umda. The point of Vehisha Umda is that God's promise to save the Jewish people was not a one-shot deal. It happens in every generation, in some form or another, that someone stands up to harm the Jewish people, and Hashem continually saves us. Sometimes we sustain serious losses, and sometimes we don't, which is not the issue now to discuss. But I want the whole context of this not to come across as a once upon a time, a long time ago thing. I want the listeners to understand that what I'm saying about this very first introduction to our nationhood is a recurring theme throughout Jewish history, and that's why it's important for us to examine it. Vehisha Umda, Avi Barak.
Vehisha Umda, Lavoiseinu, Lavoiseinu Velonu. Vehisha Umda, Lavoiseinu, Lavoiseinu Velonu. Shelo Yechod Bilvad, Omad Oleinu, Omad Oleinu, Lecha Loiseinu. Shelo Yechod Bilvad, Omad Oleinu, Omad Oleinu, Lecha Loiseinu. Elo shebechol doir vodoir oimdim oleinu lecha loiseinu. Elo shebechol doir vodoir oimdim oleinu lecha loiseinu. Vakodosh baruch hu matzileinu miyodo. Vakodosh baruch hu matzileinu miyodo. Vakodosh baruch hu matzileinu miyodo. Kodosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyodom. Dai dai da 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 da
Okay, this piece now of three verses is what I call the terms of redemption. I'll relate to that when we get there. They start with the following. Lachain, therefore. Therefore meaning, because I have remembered my promises to the forefathers. Because I have heard the cries of the people of Israel. And I am intending to keep my covenant and my promises. Therefore, say to Bnei Israel, right up front, Ani Hashem. I am Hashem, God, the God of mercy. Vehotzeiti etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim, and I will take them out from under the burdens of Egypt. Vehitzalti etchem meavodatam, and I will save them from servitude. Vegoalti etchem bizroa netuya uvishvatim gedolim, and I will redeem the people. In other words, three different terms which have connotations of taking us out of Egypt. These three terms are not rolled into one. Each one has a certain aspect, physical end of slavery, psychological end of the feeling of being enslaved, and the physical removal from the land. Each of those very important. And it doesn't stop here, and I shouldn't stop here. I will, because we're approaching the halfway mark, and I always take that sort of as a break, even though I don't know if it actually works out that way in the way the show is put together. But you'll see why in a few moments, why I feel very strongly about it not being a break. But the first verse is three different terms, three different levels of exodus from Egypt. Stay tuned for more Torah Tidbits Audio for Parshat Vo'era. All right, you're listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Parshat Vo'era, and I am a very sad person because 16 minutes out of the 23 minutes of this part just disappeared on me. So I'm going to have to reconstruct it in my mind, and it's a very big time pressure for me. I'm sorry to complain to you. What I was saying before the break, which by now is a long time ago, very upsetting. The first part of the prophecy here of what God is instructing Moshe to say to the people deals with the Exodus. It does not stop there. It immediately continues to two other major issues, major items, major, that's not the right word either, of what it means to be the Jewish people and what it means to be a Jew. And that are the other terms of redemption. That's how they are called. We'll discuss them in a moment. But I want to contrast this for a moment to another emancipation of slaves, that which took place in the United States in the 1860s. I did a little reading on the internet and found that the Emancipation Proclamation of President Lincoln was an executive act during a war without approval or need of approval of any other body in the government or the people. It was an act that he was executing as the commander-in-chief of the army, basically freeing 3 million slaves in the South. Did not even free slaves elsewhere in the United States, but only those countries which formed the Confederacy and wanted to secede. Subsequently, after the Civil War, the law against slavery was confirmed by the ratification of the 13th Amendment of the Constitution, which speaks only of there shall not be any slavery, and no person shall be kept voluntarily or involuntarily as a slave. The language is a little bit more than that, but not much. No provision for, okay, but what happens now? Unlike, lahavdil, what we read in this week's Sedra of Vayera, because here we have a package deal. Then it was not a package deal. Interesting side point, the northern states seem to be a little concerned, even though they were against slavery and they fought for that. They were concerned that with the freeing of so many slaves in the South, with proportional representation in the House of Representatives, the South would have a stronger vote than the North in various other issues. So they proposed, unsuccessfully as I understand, a measure where a freed slave would not be considered a whole person. He would be considered 3/5 of a person. Imagine that, 60%. And this came from the people who were opposed to slavery. But let's leave that and get back to us. Because right after telling us that we will be taken out of Egypt and out from under their oppression, etc., which might have been enough as an emancipation proclamation, you say to a people who have been slaves for a number of generations, who they and their parents and their grandparents do not remember what it was like to be free people, that they will be freed. But God said more. He said, I will take you to me as a nation, and I will be your God. And you will know that it is I, God, who took you out of Egypt. The very first words we hear from God at Sinai are, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, who took you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That's an important seal of the covenant between God and the people of Israel, because that's where we all started from, we meaning the people of Israel. So by making it clear that that's who God is, the one who took us out of Egypt, we then commit ourselves to him in the form of Na'aseh v'nishma. We will do and we will learn what you want us to do, and his commitment to us, Vi'atem tihyu li mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. And that's not enough, because right after that verse, we have God saying, I will bring you to the land which I promised to give to your forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and I will give it to you as a heritage. And the whole package deal, the three verses, are summed up with Ani Hashem. I am God. Not just God, but I am Hashem with Midat HaRachamim. And that's how I will relate to you. Now this is where I stopped the reading earlier, and I did not read the next pasuk because it's not a very pleasant one. Vaydaber Moshe Kain El Bnei Yisrael. Moshe thus spoke to the people of Israel. Velo Shamu El Moshe, and they did not listen to him. Mikotzer Ruach Umeavodah Kasha, from shortness of breath and hard work. Remember at the end of Shemot, Moshe had already said to the people that God appeared to him and he's going to take them out. But things did not get better. They got worse. Paro said, you have free time on your hands? Go collect your own straw from which you will make bricks without a reduction of quota. So they really were not in the mood to listen to Moshe, and sure enough, they didn't at this point. Not only that, when Moshe and Aaron and the 70 elders go to Paro, it's only Moshe and Aaron who end up there. The others sort of dropped off on the way because they had their doubts, maybe. But that's not the point. The point is the package deal. The package deal is for us, for all generations, And we cannot subdivide it. And here we get into my usual words on this show and in the writing of Torah Tidbits, geared towards the understanding and appreciation and hopefully the inspiration to make the land of Israel an inseparable part of one's Jewish life. That was the intention. You are a slave people, started as a small family, grew to a large number, and you will become a nation that will receive the Torah and live it in the land of Israel. What happened was not exactly the way it was supposed to happen. When we stood at Sinai 7 weeks after coming out of Egypt, and we proclaimed as one people with one heart everything that God says we will do and we will listen to and we will understand, that was good. And then subsequently, when the next order of business was to go right into the land of Israel and fight and conquer it, or maybe not even have to fight in order to take it over, the people said, oh, you know what, let's send a delegation and they'll check things out, as if the decision to go or not to go was the people's, which it wasn't. But that's what happened, and the sin of the spies, delayed by that crucial generation and 40 years of wandering until the male population, adult male population of that generation died out before the next generation was ready to go into the land. And we've been plagued with this idea in more than 40 years ever since. We were there, we built a Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. We were exiled. Some people came back, but not a lot. We built a Beit HaMikdash, second temple, missing a lot of spiritual aspects of the first temple. The population was relatively small compared to those that said, we have everything we need back here in Bavel, or in Borough Park, or in Muncie, or in Teaneck, or in the Five Towns, or whatever. So why should we go back? Big question marks, big unknowns. And the Chashmonaim, who are known for the victories and miracles of the Hanukkah story, did not have a very successful reign, and Greek rule was overturned for a short period of time, and then the Romans started their thing until the second destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, and an exile which has continued almost 1950 years since. And it just keeps going. And worse than that keeps going, the Jewish people had and have made a split within the package deal. Thank you, God, for taking us out of Egypt. Yes, we are committed to your Torah. Living in the land of Israel, well, you know, maybe sometime and maybe not. That's wrong. That's not what it was supposed to be. And we, in each generation now, with a state of Israel under Jewish rule, and the organizations that facilitate Aliyah and Klita, it is easier and easier and easier to live in the land of Israel. So where are the large numbers of American and other Jews of the diaspora coming to live in Israel? It's sort of ironic that Jews who came to America from Europe before the war, during World War II, after World War II, and ever since, with the influx of Russian Jews or whatever, many of them struggled in the early 1900s, let's say, to keep Shabbat. But they struggled and they prevailed. Not everybody. There are people who gave up Shabbat. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the kind of person that is committed to Torah and mitzvot, who will struggle to keep kosher and to keep the Shabbat and the holidays and have Jewish education for their children. Where is the struggle for them to live in the land of Israel as God had promised us and wants us to? This was not a choose, you know, what you want from it. It was v'hotzeiti, check, v'hitzalti, check, v'go'alti, check, v'lokachti etchem, check, v'hoiti lochem, check, v'idatem, check, v'heveti. Oh, wait a minute. You're bringing us to the land? I don't know. It's kind of good where we are. Maybe not. V'natati, you're going to give us the land as a heritage? I have my heritage here. I have my Jewish life. I tell you again, I've said this many times on this show, and I write about it. Today, in our time, Jews in different parts of the world are still saying the vile... I'm going to get lost here trying to describe it. The despicable terminology that is used echoes from the Meraglim, which was the spies, which was one of the most terrible episodes of that period of the first generation who came out of Egypt. They said, we have everything we need for a complete Torah life here in the Midbar. And many of them said, let's go back to Egypt. When Yehoshua and Kalev were the ones who said two words, just like Na'aseh v'Nishma was a commitment to Torah, they said, Alo Na'aleh, let's go up to the land of Israel. And they were almost stoned. When you hear someone today, in the year 5776, 2016, Laminyanam, say, I have everything I need for a complete Jewish life here in, and I won't mention those neighborhoods and cities and towns again, but they say it with pride. They say it, we've got not only a glatt kosher Chinese restaurant, those have been around for a long time, we have a Japanese restaurant. We have a 24-hour-a-day, 6-day-a-week Shomer Shabbat Dunkin' Donuts. So what do you have living in Eretz Yisrael? You had Dunkin' Donuts, you lost it. You had Carvel, didn't last more than a couple of years. By the way, it was wonderful when it was here, and I'm sorry to see it go. You had Kentucky Fried Chicken in Jerusalem, it's not there anymore. But we maintain the wonderful infrastructure of Jewish life here in, fill in your own neighborhood. And that's wrong, because the Jewish people, each and every one of them, and as a whole, belong in Eretz Yisrael. God took us out of Egypt, he gave us the Torah, and he brought us to Eretz Yisrael. We have repeatedly messed up. And I should add also that we've messed up on the other issue also. In other words, Torah has not been accepted by every Jew, unfortunately. But that's our goal. But I am addressing specifically those religious Jews who are Torah observant completely and strictly and above and beyond the requirement, except that they don't live in Eretz Yisrael, which I am telling you is easier to do than it was to keep Shabbos when their parents or grandparents had to struggle for it. Listen now to another track from Avi Barak Pesach Seder. It's Dayenu, not the more common Dayenu, but it's to a Karlbach Nigun. And the message of Dayenu, being in the Seder of Pesach, the Haggadah, if you look at it stanza by stanza, you're talking about the Exodus from Egypt and the crossing of the sea and the receiving of Shabbat and going to Har Sinai and receiving the Torah and going into Eretz Yisrael and having the Beit HaMikdash built. There, in musical form, in poetic form, in musical form, is the full package deal that I've been talking about. This is not, you're going to be free and you're on your own. No, you're going to be free in order to become servants of God. That is a hard thing for a slave people to take. Freedom, yeah, that's nice, but to be enslaved again? No, not enslaved. Avadim of God is not the same as being a servant of any other human and of any human being. So here's Dayenu, and then we'll wrap it up. Just to remind you that it's not Pesach and not even immediate pre-Pesach. We have a way to go for that, but the Parsha of Vayera and next week Bo bring us to that birth of the Jewish people a very, very important period in our early history. On that note, I wish you Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov, Lehishtameah.